So, everyone's a sinner. No one is exempted. Number two, the wages. That's like a slot.
You are listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Cocoa, 99.9 FM.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Sounds. We are elated that you have chosen this broadcast on this evening, and we look forward to God blessing you. Stay tuned.
But last Sunday when I came up to pray, I've been praying, saying the church has to come back to pray. And when I came up to, just come on, let's come together and pray, the Holy Spirit began to fall on me. And when the Spirit fell on me, I felt that, you know, I've been teaching people that there's the Spirit of the Lord in you for you.
Yes.
But when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, it comes upon you for others.
Yes, and, ma'am.
And sometimes we don't know what to do with when we feel the Spirit of the Lord, so we have limited to just shouting. We have limited to you just rolling on the floor or just going up under the chair and weeping. And I think all of that is great expressions because we become overwhelmed by what we feel by God. But when something comes on you, Jesus says the Spirit of the Lord is upon you because he has anointed me. And the anointing that comes on you, he said, I've anointed you to do what? To go.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Go do what? Go lay hands.
Yeah.
Go drive out demons. He said, proclaim the good news. Set captives free. And so the Spirit of the Lord being upon us is that. And so as I began to pray, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. I began to move out and begin to speak the word of the Lord through prayer of activating the people. Activation is going to be key. It's activating the people to come into a place now to ascend, to ascend. The interesting thing is about when you come together as we gather here today, all of us have a different relationship and interpretation of Jesus Christ to ourselves. So when we come together, we are bringing people saying, come on, you're going to have to trust the one who's conducting.
Yes, ma'am.
You're going to have to trust the leaders that God has given you, who may have a little bit more tools and equipping in their basket. You're going to have to trust them that you can release yourself to be mounted up, to ascend to a place that they're teaching you new aptitudes in the spirit. And so as I prayed, I saw the fire. I had opened visions. I told my husband, I was telling Prophet Courtney, I was weeping from Sunday. And when I came up Sunday, I could do nothing after I prayed. I'm telling the people, come on. You know, you guys who was here heard me. Come on, pray. The Lord had me just begin to travail in a prayer to get the church posture to understand that God is trying to awaken us up. And if he's trying to awaken us up to what he's doing prophetically, you will never perceive this until you come to a higher place in the spirit.
Right.
God is not trying to keep you in a natural state. He's trying to bring you to a spirit existence where you're able to tap into the courts of heaven, because prayer has a large part that goes with it. It's called petition. When we start dealing with petition, the reason why people go and get thousands of people to sign something, because they're trying to overturn and legislate something to change laws of nations. And so when we say now come into prayer, we're saying we need you to now come and petition the courts of heaven. In other words, we're trying to gain audience with God by gathering all the saints. When we come up to pray, we're saying, can we get 2 and 5 and 10 of you to come on with us? We're going to petition the courts of heaven because we need to overrule, we need to overturn, we need to overthrow things that we see that are legal in the earth that cannot remain, because creation is saying it has to change. And God is saying to us, nothing is going to change in the earth until we begin to decree something out of the earth that shakes the heavens, that bring it down.
Eternal God.
So he's trying to awaken us to petition. Some people want to get involved with petition and some people don't. And so now the Lord spoke to me as I was having open visions. I'm seeing fire fall. And last Sunday, I began to declare the fire on the altar. The fire is falling. God is saying purify. God is saying repentance. And I began to cry out, repentance, repentance. I get home on Sunday night. I'm crying, so I can't stop crying. I feel the burden of God that comes on me, and he said, I need you to pray. Because I'm about to do something on the altars, and I'm going to deal with my leaders in the household of faith. Stay with me for a few minutes. He walks me through. The scripture says that, woe, which is every time you hear woe, you hear judgment.
Yes, ma'am.
Whenever you read the scriptures and he says woe, he's saying judgment to. Woe to the leaders. Woe to the shepherds of my sheep. Why are you woeing? Why is judgment? He says because they are the ones that have blocked the people from coming into kingdom.
Bless the Lord.
You mean the leaders are the ones that have stopped the people from coming into the courts of heaven to petition God to overturn what it is that he wants to do in the earth that can benefit his citizens? He said, yes. He said, cry out for the leaders.
Yes, ma'am.
Fire is coming in the pulpit. Fire is falling on the altars. Fire is falling among those that have had a position for God and have abused it and have not done justly and have not taken their position to keep feeding, to keep rebuking, to keep raising up, to keep saying what God says, because the heavens, the eternal places, are trying to bring something into the earth. Yeah. And if we don't move out of the way, God will never get it done. Speed forward. I go the other day, I think it was a month or so ago, I was in prayer. I'm coming back to you, Prophet Richard, to bring this. As I was in prayer, guys, the Lord began to speak to me. And I went into a place of prayer, and I was trying to explain this to the people, but I want to teach you something, that when we talk about the courts of heaven, the courts of heaven is a spiritual place.
Yes, ma'am.
It is not a natural place. So when we say words like coaching and mentor, you know, we get tripped up in words because we're so natural. We get tripped up in it, but one word means many things to God.
Yeah.
And however it ministers to you, when you bring it back to the spirit, now it operates for the purpose of why God gave us spiritual authority to get something accomplished in the natural. So we don't stay stuck in natural. Mm. And so he spoke to me. I was in prayer, Prophet Richard. I was in prayer praying. And as I begin to pray, and I begin to press somewhere in prayer. And as I press, and I've been there before, I entered into the courts of heaven. And when I came into the courts of heaven, I was sharing this. I saw there were other agents, and it almost seemed as if we were summoned into this council place in the heavens with God. And as I ascended into this place, there were so many other voices that was there, but they were the voices and the intercessors of nations. And as we came to this seated place with the Lord, we had come to a council meeting, and I felt in the moment that when I was there, I felt like I was summoned like Abraham. And when I got there, I said, God, Robo say, I was praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm like, how did I get here? And it was an invitation. Because when I was praying, my prayer took me into another place, into the thrones of God. And I'm telling you, as I was there, I began to speak in tongues of many nations. And as I began to pray in the Holy Ghost and my tongues kept changing, everybody that was there with me, we could understand what each other was saying, even though we were speaking different languages. And it wasn't our native tongue. It was the tongue of the Spirit, but we was praying at that moment God's heart for the nations. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, who do man say I am? And when he spoke loud to us, everybody got quiet. Shh. Nobody else spoke. And I went to raise my hand in the courts of heaven to ask for permission, because you just don't speak and do whatever you want to do when you come before the King of Glory, because he, you know, he's the highest judge. And so I went to raise my hand to give permission to speak. And the Holy Spirit, I heard him say, he moved, and it was almost like we weren't communicating with language, but I knew at that moment he cleared a way for me to talk. And when I spoke, I say, Father, sir, is it possible for us to get more time? And he said, tell my people, time as they known is no more.
Eternal, God.
Teach them and help them to understand the chronology of time. They are out of the time that they think they've had to fulfill what I want to get accomplished. He said to me, I talk to you on seven cycles and seven seasons. He says, I'm the God that does things in order.
Yes.
And he said, let them know that the grace that they once had, the portals are closing. He said, there are 7-year timetables of grace. And he said, they're on the 7-year timetable of grace, the ending of an age, the coming into a new age. And as he said that to me, he began to move. I saw like a whole shift in the heavens. And when he moved right on the left side of God, I saw darkness. And I looked back at the earth, and when I looked back at the earth was moving at a slow rotation. But what I saw coming was moving faster than what I saw behind me that was on the earth. And the Holy Spirit spoke at that moment. He said, tell man. I saw waves upon waves of darkness, like one wave and then another wave of darkness and another wave of darkness. And when I looked and I saw the waves of darkness, I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, tell man, this is what is coming.
My God.
Tell them, while we sit to argue our doctrinal differences, while we sit to figure out who's going to give us a title, what position we're going to have to activate us to get on our knees and to cry out as citizens of the kingdom of God, to cry out and to petition the courts of heaven. While we sit in all of our differences of skin color, who wears what and who has on what and who doesn't work and that's not good enough, the hand don't fit with the foot, God said, tell them the speed of darkness that is coming into the earth. Let them know that as they sit still and they refuse to repent, they refuse to humble themselves, they refuse to submit, they refuse because man still believes that this earth belongs to them. God said, the earth is mine. I'm telling you, in the heavens and the earth, it belongs to the Lord. He said, this is mine. These days are holy. And we are in the days of holy wars. The fire is falling. Judgment is here. God is purifying the altar. He's cleansing his temple. He's raising up a new regime. He said to me, tell them as we see the dark ascending, let them determine how fast it get here. Let them determine where this dark comes. For I gave man to be the watchers of the earth. And I told them to raise up a light. The light that dictates the darkness. The light that deters the darkness. The light that causes the darkness that is coming that cannot comprehend it. I made men on the earth to be light bearers and light carriers of my glory. And only the glory of God can defeat the dark that is here. The dark that is coming. If my people who are called by my name, he said to me, will humble themselves and pray and turn. What is turn? Repent. Why we need to repent? Because we have been walking in wickedness. What is wickedness, prophet? Thank you for asking me. Wickedness is twistedness. Wickedness, when we look at the word wicker, it's bended. When we look at bended, prophet Judith, we're seeing people and things that are twisted because we have part truth that we sit in and part lies. He says, a wicked generation seeketh after a sign. And the only sign that's going to be given to them is what? Is what? The sign of Jonah. What was Jonah generation? It was the generation that did what? That ran. Oh my God. It was the generation that refused to stay on assignment. It was the generation that was given a word to go. It was the people who was told to go. It was the people who was told, souls are broken. People are lost. South Florida needs you right now. You can stay in the bed. You can put the blanket over your head. He says, you're looking for a sign because you're wicked. You're waiting for somebody to do something that's going to motivate you when you're not motivated by God. He said, if you don't turn from yourself and repent, come out of yourself, come out of your self-righteousness, come out of you. He says, fire is falling, darkness is coming, and it's coming so fast because these are the days of acceleration. He says, for even darkness is accelerating. But if you rise up and repent from your blended, twisted, perverted, and the knowledge of God's glory salvation. You will find yourself no longer working outside of God's promise and working against creation. But when you learn how to prophetically pray, you come into the courts of heaven. And when you enter to the courts of heaven, you begin to see as he sees. You begin to know as he knows. And now you got it. Now your heart becomes sensitive. And now you have compassion for mankind. And now you rise up, and when you see them in the supermarket and at the gas station, when you see announcements being made on television, you get on your knees. You begin to pray the will of God. God said, if my people who are called by my name, if they will humble themselves and pray, and if they begin to seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear where? From the heavens. Your prayers will ascend from repentance. What's stopping you from ascending is that you won't repent. What's stopping us from going higher is that we will not come out of our blended, twisted ways. We're serving too many gods. I'm getting ready to stop because I know my time is up. But the Lord said to me, fire is falling. Tell them these are the days of judgment. And I will burn away everything that has not measured back to who I am and what I want. These are the days of fire. For I'm cleansing and I'm purifying. And the fire prophet is falling. And it is falling quickly. And it will burn. And I will cause a fire in you to burn again. And I will raise up a regime and a mighty army that will burn for me again. And I will cause their words to be words of fire, that when they speak them prophetically, it will burn the hearts of man. It will draw man to repentance. That we do not go out on the streets, that we not go where we go in our own strength, but we ask God to purify us. We ask God to cleanse us. We say, let our words be your words, that when we speak, let the prophetic counsel of heaven, let that governing system of the Lord raise it up itself and sit on us, sit on our tongues, legislate our words. Help us, Father God, to be those vessels, that when we speak, let it burn like they said to you, Jesus. Your disciple says, did our hearts burn when he spoke prophetically? He was speaking from the high counsels of heaven. And let it be now, God, that as we come together, let our words no longer be our individual words. Father, make us one. Bring us into the one sound, into the one unity. God, tear down the false altars, the pride, the arrogance, the ego. Father, tear it down, that we humble ourselves. Tear down, Father God, the altars we build. Father God, the monuments we made for ourselves. Tear down it now, God, and give us one mandate, that we might pray prophetic prayers as I close. That we may ascend to the highest council of heaven. That we may know that prophetic prayers are not just intercessory prayers, but they are prayers that overturn. They are prayers that legislate. They are prayers that bring down God's governing system. The rulership of God, the authority of God is in prophetic prayers, because prophetic prayers are spiritual prayers. And you don't have to be a prophet to pray prophetic. But let us pray the spirit prayers of God. He told his disciples, when you pray, pray this first. Thy kingdom come. Why? Pray the government and the rulership of God in the affairs of man. Pray the kingdom. Why? Because it is the mind of God, the nature of God, the will of God. Pray that into the court systems of our nation. Pray that into America. Pray that into Russia. Pray that into Ukraine. Pray that into China. Pray the rule of God. Pray the government of God. Pray that God begins to intervene in every nation. Oh, Yahweh on our Sunday. Oh, the mind and the will of every man. Let his will be done. As it is in the heavens, let us mirror the functioning
I'll tell you right now.
Thank you.
You can take this morning and just put it in a week of
Jesus
services. I mean, because everyone that has spoken so far has thread the needle.
Right. Yes, sir.
It's thread the needle.
Yes, sir.
We're sewing together the kingdom of God.
Yes, sir.
You know, we had the apostles come up here and really challenge us and everything and talk about the fivefold and the prophets. Well, let me just say this. They nailed it.
Yes.
They nailed it. You know, and you watching at home, you need to get into your prayer closet. That friend mom. Say, my God!
My God, my God, my God, my God.
Prophetic prayer is from books already written in heaven. Continuity is key, as well as connecting.
Yes,
prophets cleanse.
You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
Government reports come and go, and most go by unnoticed. Others, like the one issued 50 years ago yesterday, have significant, even deadly consequences. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. In 1969, President Richard Nixon formally requested the formation of a commission to study the effects of population growth on the United States. Quote, "One of the most serious challenges to human destiny," he wrote, "in the last third of this century will be the growth of the population. Whether man's response to that challenge will be a cause for pride or for despair in the year 2000 will depend very much on what we do today," end quote. Well, revealed in President Nixon's words are a number of controlling assumptions, that humans are a problem to be solved, that the world continues to exist by razor-thin margins of error, that too many humans would certainly push the Earth past its breaking point, and that some combination of science and state can secure our human future. Well, on March the 27th, 1972, 50 years ago, the Rockefeller Commission on Population Growth and the American Future issued its report. The commission's recommendations left scarcely any topic touching on family relations and the human right to life unaffected. Now, a new document entitled Declaration on a New American Future describes in detail the 50-year legacy of the Rockefeller Commission report. Quote, "The commission called for the legalization of abortion through the second trimester of pregnancy, for the public funding of abortion and abortion-providing organizations, for universal private insurance coverage of abortion, and distribution of anti-population propaganda to teenagers. The report relies on decidedly bleak conclusions about human prospects, the opportunities for economic growth, and for technological invention. It establishes as normative a relationship in which government is not merely an expression of the choices of a free people, but an overseer dedicated to its own designs for and limits on the population, an overseer unbound by any duty to respect the sanctity of life or the sanctuary of the family and other private institutions," end quote. In the half century since the Rockefeller Commission report was released, the lives of 63.5 million unborn children have been taken in abortion facilities erected in the United States in the wake of the errors of Roe v. Wade. Parental rights over their children and their health and safety have been eroded to the point that in a number of states, abortions can be procured by or foisted on minor children without parental knowledge or consent. These policies and practices have been abetted by a series of public health alarms, beginning with population and environmental concerns, and proceeding now through diverse panics induced by pandemics and climate change. In each of these declared emergencies, legitimate matters of the common good and public concern have been translated, get this, into government policies and mandates designed to truncate parents' rights and subject them to the will of the state. And that's why it's time for a new direction. The Declaration on a New American Future is a call to rethink these wrong-headed and destructive ideas of the Rockefeller Commission report. ideas that have had terrible consequences and countless victims. I'm honored to join Chuck Donovan of the Charlotte Lozier Institute, former Ambassador Sam Brownback, pro-life leaders like Jeannie Mancini, Kristen Hawkins, Catherine Glenn Foster, and brilliant scholars like Robert George and Ryan Anderson, and others, as a signatory to this Declaration on a New American Future. It is time to change course, to celebrate life, to honor the principle that each and every member of the human family is endowed by the Creator with inalienable rights, including the right to life. To learn more about the Declaration on a New American Future, go to newamericanfuture.net. That's newamericanfuture.net. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
And so we see that he is being glorified, but the staggering thing here, the glorification of Jesus, is the crucifixion of Jesus. That's contrary to anything anybody had ever heard or anybody could figure out, is it not? Glorification is crucifixion. And he is saying that I will abide in the ground, I will die, I'll be buried, so that I will have life. And he says the same thing to us. We are to die so that we would have life. So the cross is a paradox.
The truth is, your trials are not wasted pain. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, Rescue Me. It uncovers how your struggles are a chance to experience God's nearness and make Him known. Stay with us. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in just a moment. Before we get to today's message, we're excited to tell you that this past year has been the most significant in The Winning Walk history. More people than ever are responding to the instabilities of life with hearts and minds open to the good news, the proven truth of God's Word. But now is not the time to let up. As we approach the close of our financial year on March 31, we need your help to finish strong, fully prepared for what God has in the coming months. And thanks to a $50,000 challenge, your gift today goes further to help more people discover the proven truth of God's Word. So call today to give and meet this challenge in full before the month ends. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-3255.